Well, good evening. It's nice to see you all here tonight. We're going to come to pray a bit later, as Michael said, but it's really nice when we can meet together like this as church family and praise the Lord. We can bring our requests to him and bring the needs of each other to our Heavenly Father. And at the same time, hopefully you get to know somebody you perhaps haven't sat with before. So when you pray, make sure you introduce yourself to people you might not know. But before that, for the next 10 minutes or so, just to help us as we come to prayer, I'm going to share a few thoughts from Psalm 34. So we've been looking at this psalm in our prayer and praise evenings for the last two. So we're up to verses 8 to 10, which completes the first half of the psalm. And the first half is all about praise to God. And what I want us to see tonight is God's heart for relationship with us. We see that, the developing trust from us as well. So we see God's desire for relationship and our trust in him. So if you open your Bibles, open them to Psalm 34, and I'll read 8 to 10. It's only three verses. So. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So a little bit of context first, and then a very quick recap. So David was on the run. He was a refugee, effectively. He had nowhere to live. King Saul was a jealous god, and David had been anointed as king, and Saul wanted to kill him, so David fled. He fled into the Philistine territory, but unfortunately for him, they remembered who he was. He was the one who killed Goliath, and so they were going to kill him. So he pretended to be insane, and they kind of kicked him out. So he was trapped in no man's land, living in caves, and not really in a very good place at all. And it's at that point that David wrote this psalm. So David was not in a good place when he wrote this psalm. So we saw before, David was praising God here in verse 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. He is praising God for who he is, regardless of his bad circumstances, knowing God knows all about them. And then verse 4, he will see how God answered him. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. And we were reminded that God answers our prayer. And when we come to God, we should pray to him confidently and with expectation. So I want to look at the key verbs or instruction words, if you like, in these three verses. So we have taste, fear, and seek. So we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at those words and from them just to see a Lord's desire for relationship with us and how he wants us to trust him. So it's that kind of two-way element we want to look at. And just to consider how amazing this is, that a holy God wants relationship with rebellious sinners like us. And he wants relationship with us. He's created us for relationship. Ephesians 1:5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That's the NLT for those of you who didn't recognize it. He's committed to relationship with us. So, and we saw that when we went through the book of Exodus recently, how God wanted to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt. And he wanted to rescue them so that they could worship him. He wanted relationship with them. He wanted to dwell amongst his people. Yet for a holy God and to meet with a sinful people, that was sort of incompatible. And so God had to go through the process of sacrifices, making atonement for that to be possible, that he could meet with his people and live amongst his people. And then fast forwarding to Jesus, we see that God gave his own son, ultimately, to make atonement for our sins so that we could have relationship with us. In the book of Psalms here, the David is clearly an Israelite, and God is the God of the Israelites. But post-Jesus, God is the God of the whole world. We all have access to God. And if you're here tonight and you don't know relationship with God, let me say to you that the God we're reading about here sent his Son into the world to die and pay the price of our sins so we can be forgiven and have relationship with him. And this is the amazing story of the Bible. This is the truth of the Bible. So let's have a look. First, at taste. So taste and see. Verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So the context, as we said, is David is praising God for blessing him, for answering his prayer, for delivering him from his enemies, and for sparing his life. David can see that the Lord is good. He has tasted. And it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So you see that God is good once you've tasted. It's not so much as seeing with your eyes as understanding and knowing, rather taste and know that the Lord is good. I made an apple crumble yesterday, and I don't do that very often. You know it tastes good, not because it looks good, which it did, but because it tastes good. And actually it didn't, because I forgot to put the sugar in. But you get the point. It's what it tastes like, and that's how it is with the Lord. Our God is a knowable God. Yes, through knowledge about him in his word, but also through relationship, through tasting and seeing and by obeying his word. So it reminds me of Ephesians 1:18, where Paul prays for the Ephesians, that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened. And David's not seeing with his eyes here, he's seeing with his heart. And as we taste before we see, this is faith. We're trusting God based on who he is and not on what he's done for us. And this is the normal Christian life. Not just faith for salvation or faith for the really big things that we face in our lives, but faith for everyday things, faith to put into practice what we read in the Bible. It's as we obey his word that we develop trust and relationship with God. And incidentally, God's interested in the little details of our lives. He's interested in those small things, like any loving father would be. And as we taste, we see that he can be trusted. Excuse me, mate. So that's taste. Let's now look at fear. So fear him. Verse 9, fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. Again, remember David's situation. He's on the run for his life. So he knows what it's like to fear men. But David's not talking about that kind of fear that makes you or me want to run or hide in the corner. It's not a fear of the people around us or our circumstances. And those may well frighten us. But a right fear of God is our response to who he is. To who God is. It's acknowledging that we believe that he is the Almighty One by the way that we choose to live our lives. I like this definition from the notes in my NIV Bible. Fearing the Lord is those who honor God and order their lives in accordance with his will because of their reverence or love for him. And this is what fearing the Lord is, so ordering our lives that we do what pleases him. So fearing the Lord is when we're more concerned about what he thinks than anyone else. That's when we're fearing the Lord and not man or our circumstances. And we can do this because we know through faith who God is. He's both the Almighty God and our loving Heavenly Father. So we lack nothing, as verse 9 says. Ultimately, because we trust God. And that's because it's the way God made us to be dependent upon him. Therefore, lacking in nothing. Romans 8, 31 and 32 tell us, if God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also give us all things? But lacking nothing doesn't mean that God showers down from heaven everything we've dreamt of. It means we lack nothing because we have God himself. We have one who knows about all our fears and wants us to trust him with them. So we know his peace, his joy in our hearts. And even when, like David, things don't seem too good. So let's fear the Lord, trust him and lack nothing. And lastly, let's seek the Lord. So verse 10. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I like this verse. God, of course, made the lions top of the food chain. And even they can grow weak and hungry. But those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. In other words, those who seek the Lord are better off than even the strongest of the creatures God made. It's easy for us, isn't it, to look around and maybe envy those who appear to have everything sorted. But it's only as we truly trust in God that he will satisfy us. And if we're seeking the Lord, we'll not miss anything at all. We'll not be missing out. And this is the best choice we can make, even though with our natural eyes and hearts, we don't always see it that way, do we? So what does it mean to seek the Lord for those of us who are following him? I think it's a priority we place on our relationships with him, spending time in prayer, as we're going to do in a minute, reading and understanding his word, putting it into practice in our lives. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Our Father in heaven knows what our needs are. This is dependence upon him again, surrendering our independence, which is sin, and trusting him, believing that God is really in control. So we don't need to worry about anything. He's got it. He's in control. We will lack no good thing, it says, if we truly seek the Lord. Because the good thing, the best thing, is God himself. And God created us for relationship with him. So to summarize, as we finish, this is the heart of our Heavenly Father. He wants us to trust him, to taste and see, to grow in our faith and experience of him, and know his provision for us, which is himself. So let's turn to him now. And whatever our circumstances, whether they're good or not so good, as was the case for David, let's praise our good God for all he's done for us in salvation, all we've been singing about there earlier, and making it possible that we can have relationship with God, with the living God, through Jesus. And for all he continues to do for us as we live out our lives to serve him.